Greece, meet Germany.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Two of the key figures in the European debt crisis are meeting today in Berlin. One is the lender, German Chancellor Angela Merkel. The other is the borrower, Greek Prime Minister George Papandreou. The subject is the crucial next round of bailout funding for Greece and what the country will have to do to get it. For more, let's bring in Marketplace's European correspondent, Stephen Beard. He's with us live. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Jeremy.
Well, let's start with Greece. What are the Greeks trying to get out of today's meeting?
The timing of this is critical because on Thursday, there's a big vote in the German parliament on the second bailout package for Greece. So Papandreou is in Berlin to tell the German people, we're cutting our deficit, we're on target, you can trust us, you won't be throwing your money into a black hole, and we'll pay you back.
And how is that message going down with the Germans?
Not very well. The Germans are especially unhappy about giving more money to the Greeks. Here's Matthias Warnecker of the German Taxpayers Alliance.
We believe that German taxpayers shouldn't be forced to pick up the bill for extravagant public spending in countries like Greece.
So some opposition within Germany. What are the chances, Stephen, that Angela Merkel will be able to get this bailout package through?
Probably she will, yes, but it's going to be very messy. She may only be able to do it with votes from the opposition, so she could be damaged politically.
And lest we get caught up in the day-to-day of what Greece needs, let's talk about the big picture. I understand there's another vote going on today.
Yes, a vote on a plan to overhaul the bailout fund so that it can come to the rescue of other Eurozone countries more quickly. This is not to be confused with what we were talking about yesterday, yet another plan to beef up this bailout fund, which involves pumping a lot more money into it. News of that plan's caused outrage in Germany, raising the possibility that the parliament may this afternoon vote down this more modest measure. All this is causing exasperation outside Germany. Here's David Blanchflower, Professor of Economics at Dartmouth College in the States.
People have been coming out with sayings like the euro must be saved. Well, if you're going to have to save it, then you're going to have to put the money out. And I'm afraid that's the political and economic reality. Now they have to actually going to have to write the big check.
Easy to say, of course, when it's not your money.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thank you, Stephen.
Okay, Jeremy.
Well, here in this country, General Motors workers are voting on a new United Auto Workers labor contract this week. The company and the UAW union hope to have the voting done by Thursday. Similar contracts are being negotiated at Chrysler and at Ford, where workers are hoping to share in the carmaker's recent success. Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports.
Ford has been selling more cars, getting higher prices for them, and gaining market share all over the world. The UAW, which represents about 40,000 hourly workers at Ford, is hoping to take advantage of that.
They may have a better ability to pay than GM or Chrysler.
Peter Berg is professor of employment relations at Michigan State University. He says the union will be pushing for higher wage increases than it got at GM. But he says an even bigger priority for the union will be
some security in the work, trying to move more work to the U.S. and get some security that jobs will be maintained here for Ford UAW workers.
Ford workers have been angry about CEO Alan Mulally's $26.5 million pay package and benefits other managers have had reinstated. Still, the UAW knows its members' futures depend on Ford's success, and that's something that'll be reflected in the negotiations. Ford is the only one of the big three where workers still have the right to strike, but it's unlikely the UAW would decide to exercise it. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up in overseas trading this morning, 2 to 3% higher across Europe. In this country, a government shutdown has been averted, at least until next week, after the Senate passed a short-term funding bill that is expected to be approved by the House on Thursday. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 272 points to close at 11,043.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. By Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. and by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the Knowledge Effect.
New York City is the kind of place where business is being done all the time. Well, except on the subway, where there is no cell phone reception. The deal-making stops when you walk underground. At least it did until today, when the Big Apple begins testing cell phone service on subway platforms. It's a big investment for AT&T and T-Mobile, but it'll also mean a big change for many New Yorkers' commutes. Sally Herships has more.
New York City is loud, but when you go down into the subway, it's almost quiet. Which Pollyanna Rose really values. She was waiting for the L train to head home from her job as a customer service rep.
That 5, 10, 15 minutes is really, really important. I appreciate it because I deal with people all morning. I just want a little quiet time, honestly.
Chris Tokar said she's fine with the idea, until she realized other passengers might be using their phones as well.
Well, yeah, that might be a problem.
Then there's the issue of always being available, which is what instantly came to mind for 26-year-old web designer Rachel Bushy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And so my workday is going to start like another hour earlier and will end an hour later.
The only passenger I found who likes the idea wasn't a New Yorker. She was visiting from Washington, D.C., where the metro is already wired for cell phones. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And finally, Cheech and Chong have a new gig selling brownies. No, not that kind of brownie. They've been hired by General Mills to star in a new marketing campaign for Fiber 190 calorie brownies. The online video ad has Cheech and Chong lugging thousands of the brownies in the back of a beat-up van to a music festival called Flaming Pole.
That's such an awesome van you got. What's in the back?
Brownies. Yeah, magic brownies.
The slogan for the new ad campaign delivered by Chong is Get High on Fiber. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Derivatives regulations are tough to explain. Perhaps we could get a little help from The Godfather.
In fact, that's a very good analogy because the whole system of risk management entails people doing certain things for the Godfather to ensure that he keeps his promise.
I'm Tess Vigeland, a clearinghouse only the Corleones could love. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.